There are four scriptures that I would like to refer to. First of all, in John's Gospel, in chapter 1, page 1265. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things received being through him, and without him, not one thing received being which has received being. In him was life, and the light was the light of men, and the light appears in darkness, and the darkness apprehended it not. Then further on in the Gospel, chapter 14, page 1290 and verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will beg the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him, nor know him. But ye know him, for he abides with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I am coming to you. Yet a little, and the world sees me no longer. But ye see me, because I live, ye also shall live. The Epistle to the Hebrews, page 1446, and verse 3. Who being the effulgence of his glory, and the expression of his substance, and upholding all things by the word of his power, having made himself the purification of sins, set himself down on the right hand of the greatness on high. Then finally in Romans, in chapter 5, page 1354 and verse 8. But God commends his love to us, in that we being still sinners, Christ has died for us. Much rather therefore, having been now justified in the power of his blood, we shall be saved by him from wrath. For if, being enemies, we have been reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much rather, having been reconciled, we shall be saved in the power of his life. For me, it's been a long winter. But how pleasing it is when one is outside on a walk to see the green shoots. And that reminded me of this scripture that I read in the first of John. Not one thing received being which has received being. I should have started. All things received being through him, and without him not one thing received being which has received being. So that to me spoke to me of the power of God in the universe. The greatness of God's power cannot be underestimated. When you think of God's power, you also are made to think of his love. Both are powerful. God's creatorial power and God's power that we see in love. We stand in our hymn, God from his throne on high gave his own son to die. That speaks to us of the power of God's love. That he should take cognizance of his creature. And the other scripture that bore home to me again was that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While there was nothing that could be taken account of in us, God, in his love, gave himself for us. God sent his son that he should die. God in his love. God in the power of his greatness. A reminder of that scripture, with a powerful hand and a stretched out arm, That's the God with whom we have to do. With God, we sometimes say, there is nothing impossible. And that's reassuring in a world that we live. When everything is contrary to God's holy will, and yet we see the greatness of God's hand in so many ways. All things receive being through him. My breath and your breath, my soul and your soul, is held in God's hand. And without him, not one thing received being which has received being. You just think of the greatness of the way that God works. God works. Nothing can stay the hand of God. When he makes bare his arm, who then shall stay his power? Think of the way that God has moved, dear hearer, in relation to you and in relation to me. That he has sent his beloved Son in order that you might find peace and joy in believing. And how wonderful it is for the reassurance that his presence brings. We sometimes speak of the presence, the joy and the peace that ever flows from the heart of God, knowing the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we're reminded in the 14th of John, because I live, ye also shall live. The Lord Jesus, as we've said, has given himself on Calvary's tree in accordance with the commandment of God. And yet, the story doesn't end there. The Lord Jesus gave his life. He shed his precious blood. But he came out of death. Death could not hold him. And because he came out of death, every believer in Jesus will come out of death. And this scripture is so important for every true believer to understand. Because I live, ye also shall live. We don't live to ourselves, but we live unto the one who gave himself for us. Mm-hmm. The one who gave his life a ransom for many. Mm-hmm. Think of that act of down-stooping love, that he should give himself a ransom for many. Mm-hmm. So our faith is something that we have to consider, because it speaks here as to the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him nor know him. But ye know him, and that's the challenge. How well do we know the presence of the Holy Spirit? The one who would speak to us of God's love, the one who would speak to us as to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who delights to draw near to you in your joy, but also draw near to you in your sorrow. Speaks typically of one who can say, who hath sorrow unto my sorrow? That's the Lord himself could say that. And he realized when he came into this scene and saw the degradation of sin. Say, who has sorrow unto my sorrow? We think of the dreadful condition that prevails in the world today. I don't know whether it's worse than it was when I was young, when I was a lad. Well, I don't know. But there is no doubt that the conditions that prevail are dreadful. And you can't help but think that the Lord will want to catch his church away as soon as possible. And yet we're set here in this waiting time. And why are we here? We're here to testify as to Jesus. Testify as to his saving power, the power of his precious blood. I want to speak about that, the power of Christ's precious blood. We've spoken of his power in creation. We've spoken about the power that resides in him in life. But what about the power that is found in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? We sometimes sing that hymn, don't we? There is power in the blood. And how true that is. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus, efficacious today as it ever was. As when it was first shed. Those that witnessed the shedding of that precious blood, it did something to their hearts. One was standing by could say, truly, this was Son of God. The power of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Able to cleanse today even the vilest sinner. You say, well, as sinners go, I'm not too bad. But the vilest sinner, think of anybody that would come under that category, the vilest sinner, the precious blood of Christ can cleanse even him. You might say, well, there was that man that was crucified, one side of the Lord Jesus. What was he like? I don't know. But he was there, he was crucified. Speaks about him being a robber, a malefactor, and yet God, in his love, saw to it that he was witness to the saving power of the Lord Jesus. When he could say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Think of that. The Lord wasn't weakened, I may say, by going through the awfulness of the crucifixion. Could say with a loud voice, and then he could commend himself to the Father. It wasn't in weakness that the Lord Jesus went into death. It was in power. And he came out of death in power. Because I live, he also shall live. Well, let us just look at that verse in Hebrews. And upholding all things by the word of his power. This covers everything that we've already said as to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm just impressed by the all things by the word of his power. There is nothing here upon earth or in heaven that takes place without the knowledge and the power of God. But this is speaking about his beloved Son, because it says here that he sits himself down on the right hand of the greatness on high. And so the word of his power would be the way that the Lord Jesus was able to speak as to sin and sins. Everything that was contrary to him, he had the power to deal with it in a way that was final. Sometimes we may speak of things and we hope that they don't raise their head again, but somehow they do, because we're just human. We don't have God's power. But God, in his greatness and in his glory, can say to something, be finished, and it doesn't raise its head ever again. And he's done that with sin. He's answered the whole question of sin and sins. And that, dear hearer, will never be raised against you. put your faith and trust in the finished work of the Saviour. We need to really lay hold of this, because there's so much in the world today that would create doubt in the hearts of men and women and children. I don't want there to be any doubt in your heart or in your soul as to the power that resides not only in God, but in His beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I say, what a Saviour. What a one that we, what a blessed Saviour we have to do with. One who knows the beginning from the end. One who knows your utmost need. One who knows your intimate desire. He's able to draw near in His love and to remind you that He not only is the Saviour, but He is your Heavenly Father, the one who knows all our needs and all our desires. Well, I'm just going to refer back again to that scripture in Romans, because this was something that I suppose I must have read it many times. But God commends His love to us. Doesn't that remind you of John chapter 3:16? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Reminds me of that. That we, being still sinners, Christ has died for us. There are persons today in the world that are still sinners. And yet, if they turn to Him in repentance into the Lord Jesus, that justifying power will be theirs, will be available to them. Justified in the power of His blood. Just as though I've never sinned. How great and glorious is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive sin. Says to continue, for if being enemies we have been reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much rather, having been reconciled, we shall be saved in the power of His life. And you know, the Lord Jesus has died, as we know. He's come out of death and He lives to the ages of ages. Think of that. Never to taste death ever again. That's Him being brought into the favour of the knowledge of one who lives to the ages of ages. Think of that. Gives you stability, doesn't it? In a world that is unstable, to know someone like the Lord Jesus Christ who lives to the ages of ages. Think of what He holds in His hand. The power that resides in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says He sat Himself down at the right hand of the heavenlies. Why did He do that? Because He completed all God's work. He done it righteously. He done it in perfection. No one other than Christ Himself could have completed that work in such a way. Well, dear hearer, I commend Him to you as the Saviour of sinners. I commend Him to you as the one that you need to have in your soul and in your life, in your uprising and your down sitting. Have the Lord Jesus Christ as the one that you turn to at any time of the day or night. Well, may we just be encouraged, and may we find peace and joy in ourselves as we put our faith and trust in His finished work. Amen.